Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. And we're going to be taking you to a place in the country via imagination and actually in talking with an author of a book called Adirondack Green. And this is going to be, I think, a fascinating show because what we're going to be talking about is wind power. My guest is John Slade. John, I want to welcome you to the show.
Hello, Donna. Thank you so much.
Now, John, where are you located?
I'm in northern New York State in the Adirondack Park.
Aha, so you really wrote about an area of country that is close to your heart on so many levels.
That's right. It's a small town up here in the lakes and the forests, and it has a small ski hill with chairlifts going up it. And in the story, in the fictional story, I put a wind turbine on top of that hill.
Well, I want my audience to know a little bit about you, John. You've got a doctorate in literature from Stanford University. You've worked in high schools and college levels, not just in the United States, but also in the Caribbean and Norway, as well as in Russia.
That's right.
Now, you became interested in wind turbines, and you ended up, through your research, becoming very close to the people that run a manufacturing facility in Denmark.
That's right.
And you have been deeply involved with seeing many of these wind turbines find a home in the United States. And you firmly believe that the younger generation, who are just becoming aware of a lot of environmental needs, feel that educating them is absolutely imperative and that they're going to, you might say, pick up the mantle of enthusiasm from people like you to be able to make the differences.
That's right. That's right. I believe in those wind turbines. I spent 3 days with a company in Denmark, met with the CEO and spent 3 days going through the plants, watched the big blades being made. They look like giant eagle feathers. And I've spent time here in this country in New York State wearing a hard hat with a crew for 2 weeks as they were putting up 195 Danish wind turbines. So I've seen them from every end, and I believe in them totally.
Now, let's go into a little bit of this. Here you are with a doctorate in literature, which obviously you are utilizing because you are writing these wonderful books. You've got a number of books that you've published.
Thank
this
you.
Is the first one that I have become aware of. But how does someone in literature decide they're going to get involved with wind turbines, of all things?
Well, I was teaching in Norway for 10 years, and Norway is ecologically about 30 years ahead of us. And as I would fly from Oslo to Copenhagen to New York, because I'd come home every summer to be with elderly parents, I could see wind turbines in the sea right offshore from Copenhagen. And I did some research and learned that Denmark in the early 1970s, when we were trying to get out of Vietnam, Denmark was making the decision to do the research and development into wind turbines. Because they knew that they would have a product that the entire world would need. And that's exactly where they are now. They are this tiny little country, an agricultural country. Beforehand, their major export was ham. They were a nation of hog farmers. And now they're exporting these wind turbines to over 50 countries around the world.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And
incredible.
In their own country, Donna, 25 to 30% of their wind turbines, of their electrical power, comes from wind turbines, over a fourth. And 80% of these thousands of wind turbines are owned not by a big corporation, but by small communities, by farms, and by businesses. There's an island in the sea a Danish island where the farmers have put up wind turbines on their farmland, and they still got their pigs and their corn, and they are producing so much power that they had to lay a cable to the mainland so that they could sell all this power to the Danish grid.
How fabulous
that
is.
And they have proven beyond a doubt that, one, these turbines are very efficient producers of power, and two, they are financially beneficial to the little guy, to the community, to the farmer. And in this country, in America, if you go out to the Midwest, in Minnesota, for example, farmers are putting these wind turbines on their farms. And they'll earn between $5,000 and $7,000 per year per turbine. And the cows are still grazing, and the corn is still growing. And, Donna, what it means is for the first time, the small American farmer knows that he can keep that farm and pass it on to his children, because he's got an income of 10 wind turbines on his farm, bringing in $65,000 a year guaranteed.
And that is so important. As a nation, there was a time after, well, during World War II especially, we were the suppliers of food that enabled people to eat.
That's right.
In Europe.
That's right.
And we have gotten away from so much of that support in the right way. I'm not talking about subsidies.
Yeah.
I am talking about the right kind of support for farmers, small, medium, and large.
That's right.
We need to be able to produce food, and
yep.
There's so many places in the world, they don't have the capacity for doing it, and here in the United States and in other places in the world, we have. So one of the things is, how can that smaller farmer, middle farmer, and even the big farmers,
that's right,
because there are so many things that are coming in that are working against them,
oh,
because Mother Nature is not always cooperative. But what can they do? And here is a venue, one I'm sure of many, that will be evolving, that enables them to become a significant contributor, because culture and civilization follows agriculture.
That's right. And we've got to keep these farmers prosperous and on the land.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and able to pass that farm on from generation to generation. That's a major part of their culture.
Oh, very, very important.
That's
now,
right.
Now, your book, Adirondack Green, takes place in the Adirondacks, and one of the things that I enjoyed about it, and this is a novel format that you have utilized as a costume to be comfortable with all the facts and points of information that
That's
you
right.
actually...
That's right. I do the research, and then I weave all that information into a story.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Which is terrific. And it's in present day. And you're talking about young people that are in high school.
That's right.
And
sir.
A community that, Balsam Corners, I think
That's
is the name
right.
of the community.
Could be a little town anywhere in America. Could be out there by Tacoma, easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what I found so fascinating is that right at the very beginning of the book, you go into the fact that the community is really in a stir.
That's right.
Okay, give us a little bit of background as to why you chose to introduce it in this way, and what is this stir in the community all about?
Well, they are arguing whether or not to put one wind turbine on top of their local ski mountain. And it's a Danish wind turbine, and it is big enough to power a town of 4,000 people. Every home, every business on Main Street, the nursing home, the medical clinic, the school, and even the chairlift, Donna, going up that mountain, because it's a ski mountain, even that chairlift carrying people up to the top of the mountain will be driven by a wind turbine if they put it on top. Well, some people don't want to look at it, and some people don't like technology, and not in my backyard, and it kills birds and bats, and it drives people nuts. Well, once you learn about them, you see that they're enormously beneficial. They kill many fewer birds, if any, in many localities, and they bring prosperity to the town. And in this story, Adirondack Green, we look at the actual construction of a wind turbine. So you see it piece by piece and blade by blade so that you really understand what this machine is. And you watch that happen through the eyes of five high school seniors. And they are about to, once they graduate, go out into the big world. And what kind of world is it going to be? So they're watching not only a wind turbine go up, they're watching the first step of what could be an extraordinary future. And this book is about the evolution of these kids. They're all very different, but they're all growing. And they're all about to become working adults. And so it's a very deep story, but it can be anybody's story anywhere in America.
We live in very interesting times. There is frequently a sense of nostalgia on the part of many people saying, well, young people today just don't have the opportunities like there were in the 40s and the 50s and 60s. My people are great at doing this. But every generation has to walk in their own direction. And this generation that's upcoming must deal with issues that we, you know, as people, generally, we're very ignorant until life kicks us in the teeth somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
We thought that there was unlimited energy, which in truth there is, but you have to know how to utilize it.
That's right.
But we just, you know, we got so excited with the industrial age. Life was made so much better. We developed all kinds of different appliances, and fortunately, we still have inventive people. But we now have such a population density on this planet. We are dealing with massive starvation. We are dealing with conditions of our seas being depleted. We are dealing with all of these things that, my goodness, just 15, 20 years ago, most people said, this isn't going to happen. This is ad infinitum.
Yeah,
lo and behold, here we are.
Yeah.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
So people like Jacques Cousteau and others that tried to alert the world.
My hero. My hero.
Well, there we are, Jacques Cousteau and others saying, please, please pay attention because there are these things that are evolving. All of a sudden now, it's hitting those people of the older generation and they're scared. They don't know what to do and many of them are disinterested. But there are those that are younger that are coming up and being educated about this, and they're saying, wait a minute, I've got to do something. So we have a whole new level of education that has to be developed.
That's right.
And a whole new level of understanding that we have to be compatible with the environments that we're in so that we don't destroy it, because if we destroy the environments, we destroy ourselves.
That's right.
So your story goes into this. One of the things that I thought was just so terrific is that you integrated the younger generation with the older generation.
That's right.
It's hands-on. Why did you choose to take that approach, which I think is marvelous?
Because they are part of a community. Kids are part of a community. And part of this story is the fact that these seniors are told on the first day of school in September by their principal, there's a whole new policy at the school. Every senior has to do 100 hours of community service in order to graduate. And they've got the whole senior year to do this. And so we follow those five seniors in their small class of 32. We follow those five as they meet five older people in their community. And sometimes they're helping. One is visiting a woman in a nursing home. One is learning from a retired banker, not so much helping him as learning from him. So different relationships. And kids today have got to be part of a community. And they're not. And it's partly why they're so lost and bored. They don't get it out of a TV, I guarantee.
Absolutely. I love the story of the young man who is interacting with the elderly lady who has a touch of Alzheimer.
That's
and he's
right.
building her birdhouses.
That's right.
And he develops a whole new purpose in his life. He's got someone that, you know, needs, and he realizes that there is a value to life. And I agree with you. I think that one of the biggest issues we have is that we've tried to isolate our youth saying, well, they can't be exposed to certain things. And being able to be of value, to be of use, is important to a young person just as much as it
is
to an older person.
They want to contribute. They want to have a purpose, a sense of worth. And, of course, it builds confidence when they're out helping. And kids need confidence.
You go into different cultures in your book, which
That's
I think
right.
is excellent.
Katya, the girl from Russia.
From Russia. Yes.
Katya. And she came to America with her parents during the summer of 2001. They're down in New York. It's sweltering hot. And they've been there only a few weeks when two jet planes fly into the World Trade Center buildings. And they think, what, are we in the middle of a war in America? We left Russia to come to America. Now we're in their war. But they see it's not a war, at least not yet, and they head north to this little town. And Katya is assigned a veteran in a nursing home. And he's a veteran from World War II. Everybody's long forgotten that. But in Russia, and I've lived in Russia, veterans are never forgotten. They are honored immensely. And Katya goes in and meets Walter Bauer and gets him talking, and she says, you are veteran, you are veteran. And she's the first person that is excited about that. And Walter wakes up, of course. He starts a whole new life with her.
Not only that, but she involves him in her school.
That's right. She asks him, have you told your story to the students? So, no, he says, nobody ever asked me. And she says, well, in Russia, every veteran in the village or every veteran in the neighborhood, of course they come to the school. They come every year and they talk with the students. And we make a lunch for them, and we have a program of song for them. And so she invites Walter to come to the high school. And he meets the senior class, and he talks in three sessions about what he did during World War II. And it's the first time he's ever told his story.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees that he can do it, and he sees that the kids are right there with him.
I think that when we integrate the older generation with the younger generation, I don't care if it's in a cooking class.
That's right.
Or like a veteran that's telling their stories. The young people cannot understand or even empathize without hearing the stories.
That's right. That's right, the stories. I mean, we were all living in villages until a couple of centuries ago. And now we're so fragmented into our little teeny groups. And these kids, they grow up essentially in isolation, except for all their electronic noise boxes. And then at the age of 22, we hand them a diploma and we say, bingo, you're an adult now. Well, they have no idea what an adult is.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been part of a community.
Mm-hmm. And they haven't, you know, it's one thing to see stuff on television. It's another thing to actually live.
That's right. When Andy goes to the nursing home and he's with Emily, she's got Alzheimer's and she can't even remember his name. But Andy's a kid. He was failing in high school. He was just going to get on a motorcycle and go to California and roar along Route 1. That was his only purpose in life. He's got an orange mohawk, and he's a complete dropout. But when he goes in and meets this little lady with a pink dress and white hair named Emily in a wheelchair, his heart wakes up. And
she doesn't criticize him.
She doesn't ask him if he's going to go to college. She doesn't ask him why his grades are so awful. She's just thrilled because he puts up a bird feeder and she's got chickadees. And she calls him Mr. Chickadee. And he's thrilled. And this friendship grows and grows and grows until he walks into the office of the director of the nursing home, a very stern, forbidding woman, very professional. And he can hardly get it out of his mouth, but he says, what would I have to study in college to be able to work in a nursing home? I want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's mm-hmm. found his purpose, and he's going to go to college, and he's going to know why. And he's coming back not just for Emily, but, as he says, Emily and all her friends. I want to be sure they're happy, safe.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I thought was so wonderful about your book, was that you're talking about people, real people.
That's
and
right.
Interaction
as real as I can
and
make.
And value. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, as I mentioned earlier, you get into talking about bringing in the windmill. Now, the town does go for it. They're really wanting to have it.
Yeah.
But you go into such detail about this windmill because we're not talking about something the size of a regular fan in your house. We are talking about how big.
Oh, it's big. It's 100 meters tall. It's really big. It's really majestic. And people worry about it's going to be too much. And once they put them up, they look at them and they say, my gosh, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It is dignified. It's majestic. And it's pumping out clean power. It's like three wings of an angel up there.
What does it take to prepare for a windmill? Now, this is going up on a particular location in
yeah.
the Adirondacks for this community, which,
that's
by
right.
the way, is providing employment for people because the town was technically dying economically.
That's
right. The presentation that you're giving. So talking about this, it was approved, and then people that had electrical background, construction background, what were the benefits besides what jobs were created
okay.
because of this?
Here's the key. The construction itself does require labor, but it's just temporary. But let's say a community puts up a wind turbine or two, and those wind turbines, one or two of them, will provide the community with what it needs, and then they can sell the extra. Now, the community can thus determine its own electrical rate, how much they're going to pay for their power. If they keep that rate low, they can bring in small businesses that will benefit from cheap electricity. And that can help to create more. Here's what we need, Donna. We're not building our own wind turbines yet. We're still getting them from Denmark and Spain. And
mm-hmm.
even from India. There's an Indian manufacturing plant in Minnesota. We need to be building our own. And that's where
Good
all
point.
The jobs really are. And if we're
mm-hmm.
powering the plants with wind turbines, as we're building more wind turbines, one, we control the cost of electricity in the community, and two, all these small businesses can be contributing the many, many electrical components to the turbine generator itself. And so it grows and it grows. And as the industry grows, Donna, you link in very tightly education so that a kid going through college, university, knows when he graduates, not only does he have a job, he's got a lifetime career. Because we're going to be building these wind turbines for the next 50, 100 years at least. And it will
John, your voice is sort of
education.
Fading away. Yeah, your voice is sort of fading away, so be sure you keep your phone up by your mouth.
Okay.
That's great. You're fine right now. No,
okay.
I agree with you. I think that when we can look at the bigger picture, there has been very much a concern about oil. You bring that comment out in the book. But oil's not going to disappear. This is a new level of thinking, and we don't need to come from a positioning of fear. We need to come from a positioning that this is opportunity for us to evolve a whole new level of business opportunity.
That's
for
right.
entrepreneurs, et cetera.
That's right.
Inventors. It's great.
Yeah. Any American who spent 1 week, 5 days in Denmark would come home absolutely convinced. There are little shops all over the country. People are making components. They are working. We're having our economic collapse, but the Danes are working.
Mm-hmm.
And their economy is abundant enough, Donna, that not only are they working, they've got full health care, and the kids going through college, university, grad school have full tuition coverage. And then they pop out with a diploma, and they've got a job.
Mm-hmm. See, that is something I think when we talk about business, when you have good manufacturing, when you have a good agricultural base.
That's right.
And this is what we had, and this is what you're talking about with Denmark.
That's right. We had it in the 50s.
We had it in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now, because of various understandings and momentums, we've lost that to a degree.
Yeah, we've
but
become a consumer society.
But those that are willing to see. Right. For those that are willing to see, though, those that are willing to listen as well as see a bigger picture, they're going to realize that what we consider as such a negative in this recession, depression, whatever words
right.
you want to pull out of the hat, is opportunity.
Oh, yeah. We're waiting for that green economy. And, you know, Americans just won't look beyond their borders. But as I said, spend 5 days in Denmark. I tell people, don't go to Las Vegas. Don't go to Daytona, Florida. Go on your vacation to Denmark. Visit a factory. Visit a community. Visit a farm. Visit a school. Visit a college. And you will see a little country that's 30 years ahead of us and just booming.
And this is exciting. What is amazing to me that the association that you've had the good fortune to experience with being in Russia, that they have not yet caught on to this. But
no.
Those systems are in place. And so those systems, to bypass the systems that aren't working, we have to be courageous enough to stand up and say, we're going to bring in new systems, we're just going to do it, and we're not going to have a whole bunch of ballyhoo about it. We're just going to do it.
That's demonstrated
because that's what the Danes have done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the Russians will eventually. They're behind the stone wall of the oligarchs and the Russian oil. But one day those oligarchs will just be swept away. And the students that I teach, are they ready? They are ready.
And I know you just got back from a conference in D.C. where over 10,000 students participated, which I think is phenomenal.
It was great.
And they are ready to gear up and move out into life.
Yeah, they are. They are. I spent 3 days with these 10,000 kids from all over the country, many of them Native American, African American, and they were listening to speakers from major organizations talking about green economy, green jobs, and they took leadership workshops so that they could go back to their school and community and the reservation and begin to turn it green. And these kids were just, oh, they were heartening. It did my heart and soul so much good.
Well, I'll tell you what, John, your book, Adirondack Green, really speaks to the heart of where we are today, and it has been such a joy to have you on the show as a guest. Now, is there a website people can go to, John?
Yes, Woodgate International. So WoodgateIntl.com. WoodgateIntl.com, and you'll see all the books there.
Yes, this is about a class of 2004, 32 high school seniors, and the month of September that changes their lives and the lifestyle of their community for the better. Adirondack Green, my guest again, John Slade. Go to his website, WoodgateIntl.com. WoodgateIntl.com. John, you've done a great job. You'll have to let me know when you come out with your next book.
Okay, it's coming out in May, Donna, and it's a beauty.
All right.
I'll let you know.
All right,
thanks
John.
Thanks so
That's
much,
great.
Donna. I've greatly
You're welcome.
Enjoyed being with you.
Thank you, sir. This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break, and we're going to come back. We've got a lot of good things to share with you today. Don't go away. More good things on the Donna Sebo Show.
Pete Smith here with OrthoTemp Health Shoes. These funky-looking shoes, invented by a medical doctor, will make you feel better. Who has time to work out these days? Wear our sandals or clogs around the house, go shopping, wear them on the treadmill. You'll burn extra calories. You'll tone and trim the legs, thighs, lower abdomen, rear end, your love handle area. You'll simply feel better. Check them out on the web at orthotebb.net.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Hey, telephone lines are now open, and you're going to be able to call in and chat with me if you so desire. Here are the toll-free numbers you can call in. U.S. 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. Worldwide, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, remember, if you're a first-time listener, the only thing you need to do when you call in is give me your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. I'm an information resource, and it's my delight and pleasure to be able to give this to you over the air, because that's what it's all about, is sharing information. And also, quick like a bunny, I want to mention to those of you who are listening to me via Alaska, well, I'm going to be in Fairbanks and Anchorage starting the 9th. The 9th, 10th, and 11th, I'll be in Fairbanks, Alaska, and I'll be available for private appointments. You can call my office, 800-872-8852. Also in Anchorage, the evening of the 11th, and I'll be there through the 15th. So I'm available in both cities by telephone and or in person. You just need to call me for scheduling some time. And again, that's 800-872-8852. And then at the end of this month, one of the most exciting events that I participate in annually is the Pacific Northwest Women's Show, which is being held at Quest Field in downtown Seattle, their convention center. Now, on the 27th, 28th, and 29th, this event is going to be going on from 10 in the morning until 6 in the evening, and we have well over 40,000 women that come out for this. A few guys allow themselves to come in and have the experience. It is absolutely awesome. So if you are in the Pacific Northwest, if you're on the West Coast, if you're anywhere where you maybe want to fly in to attend this wonderful event, it's awesome. Now, something very special is happening relative to the Donna Sebo Show, and that is on Friday the 27th. I'm going to be giving talks and interviews with five very special guests. Each of these guests will be presenting information that's going to be beneficial to women in general, whether it's about jobs, money, relationships, etc. And you're going to have a chance, if you're in the audience, to be able to ask questions of these specialists and experts as you would like. This is going to be going on from 11 until 4 on Friday the 27th, and you'll see this stage near the stairs where, when you enter into the convention center in downtown Seattle at the Quest Field Convention Center, then you're going to be able to come down. You'll see the stage there, and on Friday we'll be doing that. I'll also be in booth number 406. And I'm going to be doing many consultations for people, and I'm going to have gobs and gobs of books to share with you, too. So there's all kinds of good things going on, drawings, etc. So mark your calendars, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, for the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. This is an event you don't want to miss. Tell your friends, it is awesome. And then in April, on the 25th of April, I am presenting a class called Mind Vision. And this is about empowering you as an individual so that you can take charge of your space, your life, also being able to have some tools to work with and to be able to empower yourself to go for what it is that's most important to you. And also we're going to be doing some exercises during this day class on Saturday, April 25th. And you can go into my newsletter. You'll see it's on my website. You'll see the event, all the information that is there. More information is going to be forthcoming. If you want to contact me about this, find out where you can make your reservations, et cetera. It's only $95 a person. But if you mention the Donna Sebo Show, you'll get a $10 discount. So it'll be $85 a person. It's going to be all day, 10 a.m. until 4 in the afternoon, and it includes a free lunch. So there you go. That's what's coming up with Donna Sebo and the next couple of months. So I hope that you'll be able to participate. That's going to be held in Tacoma, Washington. So again, the Pacific Northwest, just know, give me a call if you have questions about anything I've mentioned, 800-872-8852. That's my office number. Okay. And again, if you want to call in and chat with me, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Well, I have in front of me a picture of three adorable raccoons. Their little faces peering out of a wood stump. They're the babies, and it's this time of the year when the babies are coming out. And there's this wonderful, wonderful poem written by Patient Lawrence that I thought was adorable. The woodland creatures are awakening from their warm winter beds, eager to see the first signs of spring, as the earth finally sheds its snowy blanket, revealing a garden of green. And, ooh, is that the case here in the Pacific Northwest? We have just got so much budding and blooming. I'm amazed. We've had such weird weather here, but the rhododendrons don't care. It's like their little clock is working overtime. They're saying, hey, spring's here. Daylight savings time is coming on the 8th of this month, and by golly, we know it's here, so we are just blooming our hearts out. So pinks and reds are starting to appear in gardens right here in my own network of community, and it is just amazing. And lilies are putting their heads up. Tulips are starting to push their way up. The daffodils are even starting to come up and out, and the crocus are blooming. So I don't know what it's like in your part of the world, but if you're like me, you can hardly wait for spring because it is one of the most beautiful times of the year. Well, I wanted to share some tips with you today that I came across that I thought was really handy and helpful. And this is about taking care of appliances in your home. Now, I don't know about you, but mine really get a workout. I think I do 20 loads a week or the equivalent thereof just with laundry. And it's amazing how stuff stacks up. So if you've got a family and you're like me and that washing machine is really grinding and moving frequently, you want to do some things for yourself. If you want to get your appliances fixed without a lot of hassle, read your manuals. They can give you a lot of information on what you may not know about that appliance and what might be causing some of the trouble that you have. So be sure and check your troubleshooting section of your owner's manual. Now, let's say you can't find it. Maybe you stuffed it somewhere and you just haven't had a need to look at it. Well, you can go to the manufacturer's website, and usually, dependent on the brand of your appliance, but most of them, you're going to find that there are sites that offer troubleshooting advice. And pay attention to your warranties, because just about everything that's put out today comes with a 1-year warranty, and sometimes repairmen don't know that. And also, there may be specific parts of an appliance that might be covered longer than that. For example, your fridge, the cooling system in your fridge, which is frequently the most expensive part to repair, is usually covered for a full 5 years. So when you get that new appliance, do something that I found very handy, and that is mark your manual with the date that you have gotten your appliance, and that will give you an insight. You know, most of the time they just run for so long. In today's world, it's just absolutely marvelous. But sometimes they don't. Sometimes you get something that glitches up. And you can log on to a website if you want to find out about some free advice about fixing things. There's a repairclinic.com, repairclinic.com, and they'll tell you how you can fix your appliance. And if you're one of those handy people, you just may want to do it. And just a reminder, if you are a person like me, the last thing you think of are your refrigerator coils that need to be vacuumed out once a year. And they say that's one of the biggest reasons that fridges have to be repaired, because there's all kinds of dirt and dust that builds up around the coils. So you need to find out where they are on your particular refrigerator freezer model, and also just do them, you know, vacuum them out once a year. And then your washing machine, and this is something I've heard a little bit about this, but I wasn't as informed as I am now. If you'll take a half a cup of baking soda and 3 cups of lemon juice once a year and put it in your machine and let it run through, it can prevent damaging mildew that can build up inside of a machine. Who would have thought of that? Makes sense, doesn't it, when you hear about it? Also, soap buildup. Didn't even think of that. So remember, 3 cups of lemon juice and a half a cup of baking soda and put it in your machine. And when I read that about baking soda, I thought I'd also share something with you that I was working with just this morning. And that was baking soda inside of a silver teapot that I have. If you are a tea drinker like I am, you'll notice, and it happens with coffee, there will be this residue buildup sometimes that gets into a nice serving piece. Take hot water, ladle in as much baking soda as you want. I used about 1/4 cup. And I just had this little brush that I, like you use a bottle brush for washing baby bottles, I'd put that inside and would just swish it in, and I just left it in there. And then every once in a while when I'd pass the sink and I would just swish it around, I noticed that there was a brightness inside of this silver pot. And it's the first time I've ever done it. And by golly, do you know what? I emptied it out, and most of the residue that has been in there and has been building up for a long time was disappearing. And I thought, what an inexpensive way to clean it. Just plain baking soda inside of a coffee or a tea container. And you could use it in ceramic. But if you have, like I do, a silver pot that you really enjoy using, that silver really absorbs a lot of those oils and what I would call the color of the tea. So this will take it up. It's really safe, not bad for your plumbing. You can take care of plumbing by using the baking soda, and then you just, as you're rinsing the stuff out, all of that baking soda is going down into the pipes. And do you know what? It helps to keep them clean. That's right. Well, there's a few tips for you around the house. When we come back, I have some other things I'm going to be sharing with you, and I want to thank those of you who are sending me stories and wonderful emails of information. It's great. If you have a recipe that you think is just fabulous, or anything that you think I might be interested in, send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. We're coming back in just a moment. We're taking a break. More good things to share. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
This is Pete Smith for OrthoTeb Health Shoes. OrthoTebs are completely heelless, invented by a doctor, and you'll burn 3 times the calories of regular walking in our sandals, 2 times the calories of regular walking in our clogs. They help you tone and trim the entire leg, thighs, buns, lower abs, and love handle area. They offer symptom improvement for people with plantar fasciitis and low back pain. Check them out on the web at www.orthoteb.net.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also worldwide, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Tomorrow we're going to be traveling to the Hawaiian Islands. Yes, we're going to be using the wonderful story of Jonathan's journey to Mount Niapu, which is a fascinating story about a young man, a young boy, growing into manhood and earning his rite of passage, which is really very good. And then on Thursday, we're going to be talking with film producer Sharon Rose about her interesting movies on 2012 and also 2013. They're both movies that have their own specific message, and it's really, really good. So we'll be talking with her, and then When Without Competing, Dr. Arlene R. Barrow is going to be my guest on Friday. So we have a dynamic lineup of people. And don't forget, the newsletter went out. It's already posted up on my website. So if you want to get a copy of it, if you want to subscribe, just send me an email. But all of the information about the upcoming guests will be there, and they're also on the BBSRadio.com website so that you can find out who's coming up, what the topics are going to be, and tell your friends. I'd just love to have people know about them. I got a wonderful email. This is a cute story from a gal, Carol. She said, I was out walking with my granddaughter. She picked up something off the ground and started to put it in her mouth. Of course, I took the item away from her, and I asked her not to do that again. And her question to me was, why? Well, I responded, because it's been on the ground. You don't know where it's been. It's dirty and probably has germs. Well, her granddaughter looked at her with just these great big eyes that were shining, and she was just, wow, my grandma knows everything. And so she asked her a question, Grandma, how do you know all this stuff? You're so smart. Well, guess what? Grandmas have to think pretty quick. And so she said, all grandmas know this stuff. It's on the grandma test. You have to know it or they don't let you be a grandma. So they kept walking along, and her little granddaughter was thinking about what her very, very wise grandmother had said. And she said, oh, Grandma, I get it. So if you don't pass the test, you have to be the grandpa. Carol agreed with that 100%. Well, for all you grandmas out there, you know the feeling. You know what it's all about. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Telephone number 877-876-5227. Worldwide, 888-815-9756. Food is something we all love and enjoy. But we need to know many times that the nutrients in food really have a very strong impact on our own wellness. And we have to be aware vegetables are significant. There are so many things that we need to do for ourselves, and that is very, very important. This is some information that I thought is really getting to the nuts and bolts of what we need to know, and it's something that can be very useful in telling children how to eat and how to pay attention to what they need to do for themselves. If you want to really have healthy eyes, remember there was the time when you talked about eating carrots? Well, what they have found is that if you have lots of greens and more than 2 servings of carrots a week, it's going to reduce the risk of glaucoma by more than 60%. Now, how did they find out about this? Well, a study was done at UCLA of 1,000 women. And they said in the research, they've found that the high levels of vitamin A and other antioxidants in these particular vegetables help to protect the crucial cells in the optic nerve. So eating your greens is a reality. That is something that's very important. And kale and collards, these are typically vegetables that people in the South are very, very familiar with, but you can get them just about in any market all year round today. So it's very, very good to remember that. Good in soup, and there's all kinds of recipes out there that are available. They're especially potent when you juice them, by the way. Cataracts. People who regularly drink orange juice and those vegetables and fruits that are vitamin C rich. Now, what are the vegetables? The red and green bell peppers, tomatoes, and broccoli are some of those. And, of course, there are many fruits that have the vitamin C as well. But when you have this in your daily diet, you're 45% less likely to develop cataracts. This information comes from Australian institutes doing research. The vitamin C, they're not quite sure why it's so important, but it helps to counteract the lens clouding effects of light and heat. Macular degeneration. Lutein is a vitamin that you find in egg yolks and in some other things. And they found that when people, if they have a patterning where maybe they're starting to develop macular degeneration, it will definitely keep it from progressing. Oatmeal, high-fiber cereals, and whole grain breads also cuts the risk of macular degeneration by about 39%. And also, they find that with the complex carbs, it prevents major blood sugar swings that they have found in their research that damage cells in the center of the retina. So people that have diabetes or have a tendency towards hypoglycemia, this is something that you just might want to keep in mind, that it's important for you to realize that what you eat does make a difference. Well, I know we're just about out of time here. This is Donna Sebo. Don't forget that Pacific Northwest Women's Show. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. There is so much to explore in this life. There is so much to look forward to, regardless of what you may hear on the news. There is still a lot of good things in life to be found, to enjoy, and to share with those that you love. The adventures are ahead right now for you to explore and to be able to discover maybe a whole new level in your life. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back here same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.